All right, church, I'm going to invite you to make your way back into your seats. And as you arrive back in your seats, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. And I'm going to read from Philippians 2. I'm going to pray this. So Paul was speaking it to the church in Philippi, but I believe it's very appropriate for us. So I'm going to read this as a prayer over us. And so, Lord, we just invite you to move in our midst. We invite you to change us. We invite you to grab our hearts. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And so, Lord, we receive this. This is the challenge for us. This is the invitation coming right now. And Paul goes on, he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, Lord, as we read these truths, there is such depth and such significance for us. So we just pause right now, Lord. We make a space, just a few seconds. And church, in these few seconds, I just want you to think, consider what was a thing, an idea, a word that stood out for you. And I just want you to hold that. Hold that in your mind. Write it down if you've got something to write on. Just hold that truth. And so, Father, you loved us so much that you made a way for us to be in relationship with you. And so we hold that truth of who you are, Jesus, of what you did for us, and we invite your movement in us, Lord. Amen. Amen. What a gift God's word is. What a gift it is to open it and to be able to pause and rest in it and hear God speak to us. That text embodies the theme of what we're talking about today. And in this short passage in Matthew 18, Jesus says a few profound things there. I'm going to read that right now. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 18. If you don't have a Bible, we want to get you one. We have some for you. And it says this in Matthew 18, 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Recently, we've been moving through the book of Mark with our focus and the trailing thread through there, our identity in Jesus. Now, we're jumping out of Mark into Matthew for today, and we're going to focus on this idea, this call where Jesus says, you have to become like a child. But still within this, we find our identity in Jesus, just as with that passage in Philippians. Now, what's happening right now is the disciples are arguing about who's the best, who's got the most intelligence, who maybe they're arguing about who's healed the most. And Jesus sorts them out. He doesn't say it's based on your education. He doesn't say it's based on your work. He doesn't say it's based on, remember these bunch of fishermen, on who's caught the most fish. He doesn't say it's based on your communication. He says something completely contrary to all of those things. He says, unless you become like a child, you're not great. Unless you become like a child, you actually won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, all of this movement had been surrounded about the kingdom of heaven. Remember, Jesus said, repent, change your mind, stop doing what you're doing, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus was the kingdom bringer. He ushered it in. He spoke truth, and then he acted truth. He brought freedom for people who were oppressed. He brought healing for people who were sick. He literally brought the kingdom of heaven into our sphere. The work that we read about in Philippians, where Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, where he went to the cross. What was really the culmination of that work as he died and as he rose again. And in doing that, made the kingdom of heaven accessible for us. And so he calls this young child. He calls this young child, as the disciples are bickering like children, aren't they? Calls this young child right into their midst. And you can imagine how the young boy or girl moves in and stands there, possibly intimidated, depending on the personality of the child, but stands there and says, truly, like get this. This is a truth. This is really important for you guys. Pay attention. Unless you change, unless you stop doing what you're doing, unless you stop being adults who are so focused on themselves and become like little children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Anybody interested in entering the kingdom of heaven here? Anybody? Most of us, that's good. Trust me, the kingdom of heaven is a good place. You want to be there. It's a really good place. Now, as I read this, I was thinking to myself, okay, what are the attributes? What are the characteristics? What does it look like? What's Jesus saying about being like a child? And I started to think through my kids. I've got a few, so there's lots of characteristics in there. I thought, okay, well, maybe for those of you who don't know, we've got eight. So there was room for sampling. I thought of, okay, so there's some of my kids who are super teachable. That's a good thing, right? That's a great characteristic. So maybe that's one. But at the same time, when I thought that they're teachable, at a certain age, it seems, there's maybe a consistency with that. The teachability switches. Anybody experience that? You may have actually been one where the teachability switched and you're waiting for it to switch back. That's okay. It's good that you're here today. So, okay, well, it can't be, there's got to be more than that. So I thought, okay, well, what about this child of mine who is so gentle and caring? Look at the way they move when they see other people's kids, and they're so comforting and so excited to see. Okay, so caring and gentleness, that's a great thing. I mean, maybe even that's part of a fruit of the Spirit even. And then I thought, well, what about when that child is with their own siblings and it doesn't quite look as gentle? Okay, so let's keep thinking. And I came to the realization that it really is not about a characteristic. Jesus isn't saying you need to take up the characteristics of a child. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you need to take up the posture of a child. You need to take the place of a child. See, the posture of a child, truly, of a child is this place of humility. And that's because they actually don't really have any choice. They're a kid. The position is one of dependence and relying on the parents or the teachers or the caregivers. And guess what? That's actually a really good thing. One of the favorite things that I love to watch, and I'm a bit of a sucker for this, the kids know that they can gain a little bit of extra tech time if we watch a documentary. I love watching documentaries. I love seeing the way that the animal kingdom thrives, grows, challenges that it faces. There's a new series that we haven't seen called Africa on Netflix that we've started to watch. And it never ceases to amaze me. So I remember being a child and watching Lorne Greene's New Wilderness? Is that what it was called? Yes. How many remember that? Handful? Oh, remember his voice? Right? Good memories. And today, seeing possibly footage shot at the same location, animals doing the same thing, I'm just focused, just zoomed in. And here's one of the things that amazes me in the animal kingdom. So a baby elephant, a baby wildebeest, those are the craziest looking cows ever. When it's born, within minutes, it's got to be functional. It's got to be up and running and able to move around. Why? Because of predators. If it can't move, it can't stay with the herd. It can't stay in the safety. Do you know what I mean? Isn't that amazing? I looked at our newborns the other day, and I said, man, you're a little bit behind. You're a little bit behind the wildebeests. I said something, and I didn't quite mean it, but I said, man, our babies, they're kind of useless. Now, I didn't mean that they're useless. I love my kids. desperately, fiercely. I would do anything for my kids. But they're these helpless, dependent, helpless. Right? Like, what do? They just eat and they sleep and they cry. And they cry a lot when Jody's not around. They cry a lot. Now, hear me out. I love, love, love my babies. But it seems that human babies stay in this place of dependence. Almost this place of forced humility. And we're different than other created beasts, aren't we? Well, that's part of God's plan. Now, here's the thing. At a certain point, we shift from being humble and teachable and dependent to being prideful and unteachable and independent. In a sense, we take over our lives. Now, as a part of human development, there's a goodness in that. Right? In Genesis, God frames the marriage relationship by saying, when it's time, husband, you will leave your father and you will cleave to your wife. You will grow your independence and you will become one husband and wife and you will become a family. Now, there's a goodness in that development. But there also, for many of us, is a point where we lose our humility and we begin to focus on how important we are, on how much we're worth. And here's the thing. On one side is this pride. I am so great. I'm amazing. Look at everything that I can do. In the middle is this balanced place of authentic humility, right? And then on the other side is this false humility. It's a pretend humility. So let's think about this young child, okay? This young child. So we've established that God isn't, that Jesus isn't saying you need to become childish, right? You need to take on characteristics of a child, although there's ways that you can explain that and back it up. What he's really saying is you need to become childlike in your posture. So not childish, but childlike. So let's look at this young child who Jesus calls up, right? So the child, the first thing that he does is in obedience, he comes where he's called. Right? That's the first thing that he does. So Jesus calls him and he goes. Right? Now, take soccer camp this week. I said I was at there at the start and at the end there was a few days where I popped in for the middle to help. And we had all kids from all different phases, all different walks of life. And we had this one child who showed up and who just did not want to go where the group went. So the coaches, the head coaches would say, hey, everybody, come on over here. We're going to do Coach's Corner. Coach's Corner is what they called it when all the kids would come together and they would hear a story from Scripture mashed up with a real life story. And then they would sit in small groups and hear the application. Well, this young child, I'm going to be as vague as possible because it could have been my kid. I'm not saying it was. This young child decided he or she didn't want to go with the group. Now, here's the thing about a child is that eventually, just because they're a child, you can get them there. Right? Eventually, they will move and come under obedience, come under what you're calling them to do. And so one of the first things about the nature of humility is this obedience. When you're called, you come. Now, contrast that with us in our wisdom. As we've come of age, as we know better, as in a sense we become our own master, when God calls us to do something, maybe it's something really difficult. Maybe something really difficult like forgive somebody in a relationship after you've been hurt. Right? And so when I was with that child on the field, they had laid themselves out on the grass. And there was, I mean, maybe 20 years ago I could have picked the child up and moved them, but today you don't do that, do you? At least most often. And so it's this matter of coaxing and drawing and engaging and bringing them over. Sometimes we're like that child, aren't we? God calls us really clearly to do something. Love that person who's really difficult to love. God calls us really clearly to give something. Give more than you actually set aside. And in our mind, what we do is we lie down on the grass and go, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. Right? I don't want to forgive that person. They hurt me too many times. Or I don't want to give that money because if I give that money, that's what I saved, that's what I had set aside for something else. So obedience is a key here. Here's the other thing that this boy, we don't know much other than he just came and he just stood. There's this beautiful simplicity as he came and he just stood. And he waited. Right? Jesus spoke. Jesus used him. He was this instrument, this vessel set aside by God to be used in that teaching situation. And guess what? 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it because it's significant. And remember, it's significant not that we become childish. We don't want to become childish, but we want to become childlike. I'm not going to talk much about pride because I think we understand pride and we can see pride. Pride is when somebody thinks that they're the best at everything. Pride is where somebody knows everything about everything. Pride is where somebody is under no circumstances teach. You can't teach a prideful person anything. They just won't receive it. Now, in our Canadian culture, there's few of those, aren't there? Well, there might be a few. There's a few prideful people. What I would say is that in our culture, though, we slip the other side, which is a false humility. We shift into this place of pretend humility. And the reality here is that a pretend humility, it actually ties back and cycles into pride. By pretending to be humble, what I'm actually saying is, I'm really good at this, but I'm going to put some fancy words around it to make me look like I'm... So there's this idea of a prideful person would have a superiority complex, right? A superiority complex would be a prideful issue where you believe that you are the best and you tell everybody that you're the best. But we also understand that when somebody has a superiority complex, that it's often attached to an inferiority issue. Right? And it's this exact same way that an inferiority complex is attached around to the prideful place. Dr. Gordon, who's a psychologist, says this: the inferiority complex, false humility, is a facade that masks a deeper felt, sometimes unconscious, sense of superiority. So what would false humility look like? It might look like rejecting praise that you actually receive and are worthy of. So if I were to say to an athlete, an action coach, I'd say, Jocelyn, thank you so much for coming and serving this week. You are such a gift. And Jocelyn were to say, oh no, I didn't really do anything. It wasn't, and reject that. Jocelyn, sorry, I'm not saying that you would say that. You okay? You're good. I didn't clear that with Jocelyn before I jumped in there. There might be something else looped around and going there. Sometimes with our false humility, what we do is we're actually fishing for compliments. So somebody gives a word of encouragement and we say, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. And then we wait, don't we? Just tell me one more time how good I am. Just tell me one more time because I'm actually really indispensable. Just tell me one more time because without me, you'd be lost. Now, here's the thing. Beautiful, beautiful church. I'm pressing on a nerve for some of us. I'm actually pressing on a nerve for myself. Because part of my journey growing up is somewhere along the way I picked up this insecurity complex. Can you sign that for me? Insecurity complex. I'm going to trademark that. Somewhere along the way, I picked up this deep insecurity. Right? And there's any number of reasons that you can delve into. But what would happen is I would put a false humility on. Somebody would compliment me for playing something. Somebody would compliment me for doing something. And I would brush it off with just the deep longing and desire, please give me more because I'm so hungry for it. Because I know that I'm for sure not supposed to be prideful. But authentic humility means I'm completely void of the need for self-justification, self-vindication. It means that I'm actually completely reliant on Jesus for that my identity is in Jesus. And in those moments, in those days, and I'm really glad that for 99% of them are gone, 99% of them are gone, is that I would just be longing for something over here. Right, so we've got this pride on one side, we've got this false humility on the other side, and really what Jesus is saying when he says you need to become like a child, he's not saying you need to be childish, he's saying you need to be childlike. A child, by its very nature, is humble. Why? Because as a human being, that's the way that God shaped us. That's the way that we're made, is to come out of the womb and to be completely dependent, completely reliant, a place of humility and dependency. See, that text in Philippians says this in Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition. That's a false humility. Right? That's one of the characteristics. Is just asking for a little bit more behind a pretend block of something. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, what the chapter of 18 in Matthew and some around it is all about is how we are supposed to function in our relationships. See, Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you're supposed to take on the way that I live. And I live differently. You bearing my name, you need to go into the world. And you need to love the world in a way that they have not experienced. Just the way Jesus brought the kingdom. Just the way he brought the kingdom. You and I are called to bring the kingdom. And that's from a posture and a place of humility. Not being childish, but being childlike. Fully dependent on Jesus. Secure. So secure in who we are in him. That whether somebody compliments us or doesn't matter. That whether somebody recognizes that we did something or didn't, doesn't matter. That somebody hurts us, it doesn't matter, because we are so rock solid on Jesus. Matthew 18, verse 3. And this is the hardest one for us as the big people, right? As the grown-ups, he said, truly, I tell you, I'm going to use the C word here. Are you ready? Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. How's change for us? Anybody love change? I like change as long as I'm initiating it. Are you like me? Wow. Change is difficult. Change is challenging. But Jesus is saying this is so important. This is so important that unless you change the way that you're believing, unless you stop doing what you're doing, unless you become like little children, you won't enter my kingdom. I didn't make it up. Those aren't my words. Jesus is saying it to invite his people and say, hey, change is essential. You have to release and get rid of your worldly tendencies. You have to get rid of your bickering. You have to get rid of your need for you to be known. And you have to shine in a way that I am known through you. And here's the most beautiful thing about this. And this is what makes Jesus' way different. What Jesus doesn't say is you have to become really good and then you're ready. He doesn't say you have to earn this and this and this and then you can come to the next level. He doesn't say you have to have it all together first. No, he says you have to become like a child, a humble, dependent child. You have to stop relying on yourself and rely on me. And that, my friends, is grace. He's not telling you to step it up into a place. He's telling you to dial it back so that he can cover it all. And as soon as we get to that spot of relying solely on him, everything else falls into order. Even though there's chaos around, everything else, if you are right with Jesus, falls into order. See, it's when we move into that place of being childlike that we can finally hear the voice of the Father. I've always loved to speak small words to my kids, and I've done it since they were young. And each one, it will be a little bit different. Some of them blend, some of them are shared, but with some, it's a whisper, hey, come here, I want to tell you a secret. Come here. And they get in really close. And I say something really simple, like, I love you so much. And then as they grow, some of them will start to whisper something back. I was driving with one of my younger kids the other day, and I just felt this overwhelming delight and joy over them. And so I said something like, oh, you know what? When I look at you, my heart just fills up and I get so happy. And the response, especially when they're younger, the response of the child is just to lean and snuggle in close, right? Just to press in and to receive the love. And see, I believe what Jesus is saying for us is we don't need to become childish. We need to become childlike, where we are dependent wholly on Him. Where His voice is the most important voice that we hear. And what a gift it is for us to not have to earn it, for us, no matter where we are, to be ready to receive that love. Do you agree? So I'm going to invite our ministry teams, if you can make your way forward. And I'm just going to pray for us right now. And so, Lord, we recognize, we hear your invitation for us. Not to become childish, Lord, but to become childlike. To move into a place of humility, of dependence. And some of us are sitting here right now with what feels like grown-up problems. We're sitting here in relational conflict. We're sitting here maybe absent from you. We're sitting here maybe having known you a long time ago, but not really having felt you in so long. But today we pause and recognize that you are here, that your word is one of, I love you. That your promise is that as we trust in and step into you, everything comes into right alignment. And so this is not a pressure thing. This is not a force thing. This is just a simple invitation. But if you want to respond to God's invitation to be childlike, I just want to invite you to stand. The rest of us will keep our eyes closed. I just want to invite you to stand. Lord, we know it takes courage to respond. It takes courage to stand up. It takes courage to press into you. And so if there's something that you need to release right now, something that you've been carrying, I would just invite you to release that. Tell God what it is that you want to give to Him. You can just do that inwardly, though I want to challenge you to make sure you do that with somebody vocally, either with our prayer teams or somebody else. Just take a minute, see if there's something that God wants to take from you. So Lord, I just sense release. I just sense burdens being removed. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, the beautiful thing, and this is a bit of a characteristic, but I hope you'll indulge me. The beautiful thing about a child is that they feel deeply in the moment, and then they're ready to move. They don't carry anxiety or stress or heaviness the way that we do. And I believe that's a lifestyle that Jesus is calling us into. To take His yoke, not our own. And so, Lord, as we stand right now, as we've stepped up, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill. That you would fill any void. I pray, Lord, that you would return anything that's been stolen, anything that's been lost. I pray, Lord, for a fullness that comes from being a child of yours, given access to every single thing that we need. Open our eyes, O God. Now, can I just invite everybody to stand up? I'm just going to pray us all out. Jesus, we stand as your church, as your people, loved by you, embraced by you, held by you. We just invite your movement. And so, church, I bless you in the name of the Father and Son and the Spirit. And I send you from here carrying the kingdom. Bless others as you come into touch with them. And that means just be the touch of God to other people. Have an amazing week. Have an amazing week, church. And so just to remind you that we've got our prayer teams right here that would love to pray with you. If you stood up, I really want to encourage you. And just like last week, we had some people stand up. I was in touch with some of them, but I believe there's more that God wants to do more with us. So let a prayer team know, let Kelly know. There's also communion over here that you're welcome to come and participate in. And have an amazing week, church. Bless you.